If you have a Bible, please open with me to Leviticus. It's going to be quite a bit of reading this morning as we go through chapters 13, 14, and 15. These are the laws concerning childbirth, the cleansing, the purification of a child and the mother at birth, and leprosy, diagnosing leprosy and cleansing a leper. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for calling us to obedience to your word. Lord, thank you so much for giving us life, freshness, health, joy, freedom, and blessing through your word. Thank you so much for giving us direction and instructions. And we open up your word with much anticipation, O God, with excitement and with willingness to obey instruction that you give. We want to pray especially for the Nika family, Lord, as they grieve. Lord, pray that you may comfort, strengthen, and heal their pain, O Lord. Pray, Lord, that you fill us with your spirit so we may overcome every pain that comes our way in this broken world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So chapter 12 is the law concerning childbirth. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then he shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of the foreskin, the baby, shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are complete. So everything surrounding the birth of a baby obviously needed extreme hygiene. They needed to be separated from everybody else. They needed to be clean. The circumcision law was given the 8th day. The baby boy had to be circumcised. And let's say this is a form of an ancient maternity break, maternity leave. And it was a period of 40 days, 7 days in the beginning, and then another 33 days until she's healthy and the baby's healthy. And then, you know, nobody's supposed to visit her. Nobody's supposed to come close to her. She's supposed to be with her baby, maybe just a nurse or a caretaker. Now, the setting is an ancient community that didn't have any medication, any proper medical attention for even childbirth. Imagine you're born in a desert, right? And somebody actually asked a question. So why did God allow, from last week, why did God allow the New Testament believers to eat the food that was regarded unclean in the Old Testament? Now remember the setting. There's need for hygiene and sanitation. There's need for them to be healthy. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, we saw Jesus saying, food does not make you holy. Food does not make you go to heaven. The problem is not the food that you eat or that you do not eat. The problem is the condition of your heart. It is sin. And through these laws, God was depicting the uncleanness in this world and his righteousness on the other end. So as we look at these and we see how a lot of them don't apply to us in the New Testament, God was actually pointing a picture through which Jesus is seen, and the fulfillment is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who cleanses us from all sin. This was just a draft. Jesus is the climax of all these. So if you gave birth 40 days of being quarantined, we can call it. That is for a male child. For a female child in verse 5, if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall contain the blood of her purification 66 days. Whoa, imagine 2 weeks, 14 days, and 66 days. So if you gave birth to a baby girl, you had more maternity leave. In verse 6, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law of her who has borne a male or a female child, and she is not able, if she's not able to bring a lamb, then she can bring two turtle doves, two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, that this custom was actually fulfilled by Mary when she gave birth to Jesus. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that depicts the poverty they lived in. They could not afford the lamb. They did offer turtle doves and pigeons. In chapter 13, this is the law concerning diagnosing leprosy. And we'll see in 14, cleansing a leper. Now, it's a lot of reading. It's the Bible, so we'll read it in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, chapter 13, verse 1, and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, a bright spot, and becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is leprous. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then this priest shall isolate him another 7 days. And this, on the seventh day, again, if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So any skin infection had to be treated with care. It could be leprosy. Now you can imagine the priest was not only the one who makes sacrifices and helps cleanse people who have been pronounced unclean. He's also a dermatologist. He has to examine the spot. If it's recurring and if it has certain signs that point to leprosy, the person had to be quarantined for 7 days. And if the person is examined again and it's getting worse, another 7 days. And if it clears, great, you're clean. But if it's something that is recurring and it's becoming leprous, the person had to be declared unclean. It is leprosy. So again, this is the formal ancient setting of a medical examination. And if it's a skin disease that is contagious, obviously God wanted his people protected from it. The victim, the sufferer, had to be quarantined until they are healthy. Verse 9, and when the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And if indeed the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there's a spot of rough flesh in the swelling, it is an all leprosy on the skin of his body, the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall isolate him, for he is unclean. And if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, the priest shall consider, and indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean, who has the soul. It has all turned white, he is clean. But when the raw flesh appears to him, or rather on him, shall be unclean, and the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean, it is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the soul has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, who has the soul, he is clean. So the signs there, if it points to something leprous, obviously unclean, if it clears, the body obviously heals, the person is clean. And if the body develops a boil on the skin and it is healed, and the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if, when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a leprous soul, which has broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs on it, and is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, the priest shall isolate him 7 days, and if it should at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a leprous soul. But if the bright spot stays in one place, and has not spread, it is a scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous soul. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs on the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin that has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous soul. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, is a swelling from the burn, the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is a scar from the burn. So imagine you have a body rash, a suspicious body rash. You had to be examined. Maybe it is, you know, chicken pox or maybe pimple, whatever it is. You had to be examined, and if there is suspicion it could be contagious and dangerous, you had to be quarantined. If it clears, you're okay. If you suffer a burn, and as the scar from the burn is healing and then it gets an infection, you had to be quarantined until you get well, hoping obviously it's not leprosy. If it is leprosy, you are unclean. Now, this disease actually, I think the last record of it infecting someone, I think happened in the 1980s or early 90s. So it's no more all across the world, but obviously we have lots of skin disorders and infections that require so much hygiene and so much medical examination. In fact, some can actually end up being cancerous. Then verse 29, if a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, and the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed if it appears deeper than the skin and there is in it thin yellow hair, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examine the scaly sore, and indeed it's not deeper than the skin, then there is black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scaly leprosy 7 days, and on the eighth day the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed if the scale has not spread and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave, and the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale, and if indeed the scale has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scales should at all spread around the skin after its cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there's a black hair grown around it, the scale has healed, he is clean. The priest shall pronounce him clean. If you have any suspicious skin infection around your head or beard, like myself, you had to go through close examination so that if it's something dangerous, it's dealt with early, you're quarantined, isolated, or given some treatment. And if it's something that just dries up on its own, maybe it's just a sprouting, you know, sore or lump and it clears, you're okay. Verse 38, if a man or a woman has a bright spots on the skin of her body, specifically white bright spots, and the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin, he is clean. That is normal. Verse 40, as for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, my hair is falling from my head, so this applies to me. He is bald. Praise the Lord, I'm not unclean, I'm clean, right? It's actually a disorder. I'm told that some extra male hormones in there, so it doesn't make me unclean, praise the Lord. And if there is on the bald head, or bald forehead, a reddish white sore, there is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or on his forehead, and the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish or reddish white on his bald head, on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is leprous, he is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, the clothes shall be torn, the head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So a leprous infection is one that is going to isolate whoever suffers from it for the rest of his life. He's going to have to build his home outside the camp of the nation of Israel. He's going to be the last out there so that the community is protected from infection. So if somebody had leprosy and was walking around, and this is your friend, and you haven't seen him in a while, and you want to greet him, normal greeting, you want to give him a warm handshake, a bright smile, a hug, a person had to be completely away from you. And as you're approaching them and they have the infection, they're supposed to say, unclean, unclean, don't come close to me, don't touch me. I am unclean, I have this infection, and you could acquire it. It could get to you. So you keep away. And for these unclean people, you know, somebody had to bring them food and dump it somewhere, and that could come to that place and pick it and take it. They were not supposed to come in contact with anybody who is healthy. You can imagine how isolating this infection was. The law concerning the leprous garment is given there. Verse 47, as we close the chapter. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, that is a garment, a cloth that has been worn by somebody who has leprosy, whether it's a woolen garment, whatever the fabric is, whether it is of a wapara wool, linen, anything, whether it's leather or anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or on the leather, whether in the hap, rather the wap, the woof, or anything made of leather, it is leprous, it's a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days. And he shall examine the plague on the 7th day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the wap, or the woof, the leather, or anything made of leather, the plague is active leprosy, it is unclean. He shall therefore burn the garment in which the plague, whether wap or woof or wool or linen or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy, the garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the warp and the wool, the woof, leather, whatever is made out of leather, they're supposed to wash the thing in which is the plague and shall isolate it another 7 days to dry out, and the priest shall examine the plague later, rather after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it with fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage outside is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall fear, shall rather tear it out, whether of warp, whatever fabric it is. But if it appears again in the garment, either whatever fabric again there, it is spreading, you shall burn with fire that in which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or wool, whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague, that is in a garment of wool, linen, either the warp or woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. You did well. 59 verses of cleansing, examining, diagnosing an infectious skin disorder. You can imagine the attention given to this leprous infection. So much instruction, so much detail. If you're a dermatologist, you're like, wow. Like, can you imagine writing a medical report for this person? And you're a doctor and you don't write really very well. Right? The guy goes with his medical report and you're like, wow, 60 verses. Anyway, the plague had to be away from God's people. If it's anything that is on a cloth, on leather, it had to be washed or burnt and gotten rid of so that it does not spread within God's people. We're going to see an amazing application in the New Testament after we do chapter 14. This is how somebody who has leprosy had to be cleansed. So if you're diagnosed and you're healed, you had to go through a cleansing procedure. Chapter 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living unclean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel in a pot over running water flowing like a tap. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, which is very strong, and I'm told it's the most resistant. In fact, cedar wood, I'm told, even has its own antibiotics. And the scarlet there, the hyssop, these are cleansing agents, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed, over running water again. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. One bird has to fly away. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, and be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the 7th day, he shall shave all the hair of his head and his beard, his eyebrows, whoa, and his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water and shall be clean. So you had leprosy and you got healed. Two birds, to clean birds, one had to be sacrificed, the blood shed sprinkled on you. You bathe. You get clean after bath, get new clothes. You are declared clean. You are reintegrated into the community of God's people, but you don't sleep in your house yet. You sleep outside your house 7 days. On the seventh day, any hair that has regrown has to be shaven. And you had to take another bath. The second bird had to be let to fly away. It was a picture of the infection is gone, the bird flies away. And then you are clean. In verse 10, and on the eighth day, he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as the wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering, and the burnt offering, a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it on the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle some oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand and the big toe of the right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is on the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. So part one, bathe, shave, live outside your house 7 days, bathe, shave. Part two, an offering had to be made. Oil had to be present. A trespass offering had to be made. Blood had to be smeared. Blood and oil had to be smeared on your right ear, thumb of the right hand, big toe of the right foot. What a procedure. This is before the tabernacle, the door of the tabernacle. And after all is done, you are clean. Verse 19, and the priest shall offer the sin offering, after the trespass offering, now the sin offering, and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. You can imagine this procedure. Doesn't sound like a normal medical procedure, right? So you go to hospital, and you know they are slaughtering cows and bulls, and what? They're like, hey, that is just for a skin infection. Yes, the priest is also a medical doctor. Verse 21, but if he is poor and cannot afford, then he shall take 1 lamb as a trespass offering to be waved to the Lord to make atonement to cover for his sin or uncleanness. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, we see all, 1/10 of the flour with mixed with oil as a grain offering, a log of oil, 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons such as is able to afford, one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of the oil. And the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the right toe, rather the right ear, the tip of the right ear, of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his left hand, and then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in the left hand 7 times before the Lord, and the priest shall put some of the oil that is in the hand on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. He shall take Rather, he shall offer one of the turtle doves, a young pigeon, such as he can afford, such as he is able to afford. The one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of the one who had a leprous soul, who cannot afford the usual cleansing that is described in part A. And lastly, the last part of cleansing a leper, it's concerning their house. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession, and he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house. And the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go and examine the house, and he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the eighth day, rather on the seventh day, and look. And if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall give a commandment that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around. And the dust they shall scrape off, they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster their house. Now, if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has taken away the stones, after he scraped the house, after it's plastered, and the priest shall come and look, and indeed, if the plague has spread in the house, it is an active leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster on the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut shall be unclean until evening. And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house was plastered, and the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed, and he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. He will kill one of the birds in the earth, an earthen vessel over running water like a tap. He shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. Wow. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and running water and the living bird with cedar wood, hyssop, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose into the city, outside the city, in the open field, and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law of any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment or a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot, to teach when it's unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. You're ready to the very end, right? It's like a Bible reading service. Leprosy was a serious matter. God had to give instructions for it to be dealt with. You know what leprosy does? It kills the nerves. You don't feel any pain. It completely disfigures the skin. If it's on the toes or fingers, they even shrink. Leprosy grows very slowly, almost unnoticed. But the effects are completely irreversible, beginning pretty much like a boil. And also, given there could be an oil, a lump, just a rash, could flow from a burn healing. The wound gets infected, comes in unnoticed, but affects the body in such disfiguring way. And leprosy is like sin. In so many places in Scripture, leprosy is a picture of sin. It begins very slowly, almost like nothing. It's painless in its first stages, grows progressively. Sometimes it will disappear and reappear, kills your senses, causes decay and deformity, and obviously the area that is infected is quite repulsive. Now, for those who had leprosy and the household that was infected, we saw that the extreme cleansing procedure was actually destroying the whole house. You can imagine tearing it apart, setting it on fire, and everything is gone. Nothing that is infected was supposed to be taken out. The clothes, same thing. The person had to live outside the camp. When Jesus comes, the lepers rejoiced. There is nothing that makes us unclean that Jesus cannot clean. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and fell before him and worshipped him. And he said to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was healed and cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but you go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a witness or a testimony to them." This wasn't even supposed to happen. They weren't supposed to come close to anybody who is healthy. Obviously, their deformity, their infection, their condition was quite visible. And they ran to the Lord. They must have heard that Jesus heals. They must have heard that Jesus is not going to send them away unattended to. They must have heard that there's a solution to this. That the lifetime of living in isolation could actually be reversed. And they run to Jesus Christ and they do everything right. Can you imagine? They fall down before him in worship. They're recognizing how he is Lord, his master, his God. And they say to him, quite a short prayer, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You don't go to Jesus and then you start praying for 2 hours, right? Like, you want the matter solved immediately. This wasn't, "God, you know, I've been living with this thing for 18 years and, you know, I've been living outside the camp." But Jesus knows all that already. "And you know, Jesus, I'm not supposed to come to you because I'm unclean." He knows that already. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, please make me clean." Not even "if you are able," they knew he was able. "Lord, are you willing to take this deformity and make me whole again?" He wasn't supposed to touch them because he was clean. He did touch them. He said, come close. And he touched them. And he said to them, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, whichever deformity was there as a sign of leprosy was healed. They didn't have to go back for cross-examination by the priest, but Jesus told them, "Please go appear before the priest as a witness, as a testimony that you have been healed. Don't even tell anyone." So the man is healed. Jesus is not going to use him for his publicity. "Look at this man. He has been healed. He had had leprosy for 14 years, right? Let's see your fingers. Cameraman, come close." You go testify to the priest that God heals. When God heals us, we use it as a testimony of who he is. We don't use it as a publicity for some reason. There is nothing that stains us, whether physical or sin, which is spiritual, that Jesus cannot take care of. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 14. Again, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. They had their lepers fellowship, like a lepers community and household. These guys stood afar off. They weren't like the other guy who just came close. They stood afar off. They knew they were unclean. We are unclean. They stood afar off and they said in a loud voice to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He knew what they wanted. Have mercy on us is a call, a request to be healed. And it flows out of his mercy, out of his compassion. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. That's fascinating, isn't it? So he did not touch them this time because they did not come to him. They were far off. He said, fine, you want to be far off from me? That's no problem. You go to the priest. Now think about it. They could have been saying, what? We still have leprosy, right? We cannot go to the priest, but it's Jesus who has commanded you go. So in one story, one leper is healed instantly. Go to the priest as a testimony that God has healed you. In the second story, it was progressive. As they walked from that spot to the priest, healing was happening. And by the time they got to the priests, they were completely healed and cleansed. God heals in many ways. We cannot formulate how he heals. He can heal you from a distance. He can heal you with his touch, which is close. He can heal with speech. You be cleansed. Oh, you just have to follow his instructions. You go to the priest. By the time you get there, you will be okay. And if you don't obey the word, obviously, if they had not obeyed, they would have stayed unclean. But they did obey. And by the time they got to the priest, it was all gone. Our world is full of plagues, of diseases. In fact, everywhere around the world, so much disease. So much suffering because of diseases, so much expenditure on medical treatment. And truth is, the world is going to fail to find cure for all these diseases. Jesus is our healer. He says, be clean, and you're clean. And to apply this, Christians, if there's anything that you want to believe Jesus to heal, why don't we ask him, pretty much as these men, Lord, show us your compassion. Please heal us. And he does heal. He is still healing people today. And like the other leper said, if he's willing, he does it and that's it. Even if he does not heal our diseases, he heals us from the major incurable disease of sin. We may be healed today. We'll get sick again in just about 10 years or 6 years or 2 years or 2 weeks because we live in this body the Bible describes as corruptible. But if he heals us from sin, even if this body decays, we have a glorified one on the other side. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. Can you stand and read this as we close? And let's apply it to ourselves. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let's pray together. Lord, there is no disease, no infection, no disorder that is beyond your healing. Lord, you created these bodies and you know them. And living in this world that is infected by viruses and bacteria, Lord, causes us to be sick. Lord, you can restore our health. You can heal us. Whether we ask you from afar or we come close. So Lord, like the lepers did, they asked for your healing and you healed them. Lord, may you heal us. And may your healing be a testimony of who you are. May we stand to testify that we are those you have physically healed. To the glory of your name. And we also stand to testify that you have spiritually healed us from sin. And we are destined for glory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.